Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, February 23rd, 2021. Coming up this hour.
Tech shares drop again as bond yields and commodities jump.
Fed Chair Jay Powell kicks off 2 days of testimony on Capitol Hill.
The top economic advisor at the White House brushes off inflation concerns.
And the U.S. marks a grim milestone as coronavirus deaths officially surpass 500,000.
Donald Trump's tax returns will soon be in the hands of a New York prosecutor. And recreational marijuana is legal in New Jersey, but you won't be able to buy it for a while. I'm Amy Morris. More ahead.
I'm John Stash, Aaron Sports. The Knicks and Nets both have home games tonight, and there will be fans in the arenas.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by SEI. Asset managers don't get results that are off the charts when their solutions are off the shelf. Learn how SEI's operating platform can turn infrastructure into a competitive advantage at seic.com/IMS.
U.S. futures are falling with tech shares leading declines. 501 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 17 points. Dow futures down 54. NASDAQ futures down 132. And the 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 1.36%. Nathan.
Karen, we are coming off the worst day for the NASDAQ in nearly a month. Tech shares are being hammered as bond yields and commodity prices jump. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. John.
And Nathan, the global recovery has investors betting on a rising inflation rate that is hitting stocks. Most evident in bond yields and commodities. The gap between 5- and 30-year yields touched the highest level in more than 6 years. Copper extended gains. The metal, considered an economic bellwether, has doubled since March. And oil at the highest level since 2018. But it's not all negative for stocks, according to Morgan Stanley chief equity strategist Mike Wilson.
I mean, there are going to be companies that benefit from higher rates and higher commodity prices. So materials, metals and mining, obviously the banks, clearly some of the cyclical parts of technology.
Concern is surfacing that stocks have already priced in much of the global recovery. There's also worry that central banks may start reconsidering emergency programs that have supported global markets. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Concerns over inflation are bubbling up as Jay Powell heads to Capitol Hill. The Fed chair begins the first of 2 days of congressional testimony this morning. We get a preview from Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
The Fed chairman is not going to back down, not going to change his mind on the path of rates, and not going to hint at any change. Yes, yields are up, yet the market's assessment of inflation concerns is falling, and financial conditions are as loose as ever. So you can expect the chairman to stick to his story. We're a long way from reaching our inflation and employment targets, so we're not contemplating any changes now. Powell is going to be dragged into the debate over the Biden economic rescue plan. Democrats will want him to repeat his endorsement of additional fiscal action. Republicans will ask if he thinks the inflation danger is too great. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. And Powell appears before the Senate Banking Committee today. Join us when the hearing wraps up for an interview with Committee Chair Sherrod Brown. He speaks with David Westin on Bloomberg's Balance of Power at 12:30 p.m. Wall Street time.
In the meantime, the chief economic advisor at the White House is pushing President Biden's stimulus plan. Brian Deese says jobs are a more urgent risk than inflation right now.
We take very seriously the risks, the economic risks that are out there. We spend a lot of time thinking about them, a lot of time worrying about them. That's our job. But as we assess and balance those risks, we believe that the risks of further scarring in the labor market, the risks of further extending this economic pain, outweigh the risks of doing too much.
Deese made those comments in an interview with Bloomberg's Jonathan Farrow. Tune in for more of their conversation later this morning on Bloomberg Surveillance. Catch the full interview with the National Economic Council director coming up at 8 a.m. Wall Street time.
Turning to the pandemic now, the U.S. has reached a grim milestone in the fight against COVID-19. 500,000 American lives have now been lost to the virus. President Biden marked the moment with a message of sorrow and hope. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has that story.
The president says the job now is to grieve for the dead, but take care of the living.
To remember so we can heal, to find purpose in the work ahead, to show that there is light in the darkness, This nation will smile again. This nation will know sunny days again. This nation will know joy again.
He says division in the country must end. We must fight together by getting vaccinated and wearing masks. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ed. Turning to the markets now, Bitcoin is falling once again, right now below 49,000 after surging above 58,000 just this weekend. That move came after Tesla added the digital currency to its balance sheet. Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates talked Bitcoin with Bloomberg's Emily Chang.
Elon has tons of money and he's very sophisticated. So, you know, I don't worry that, his Bitcoin will sort of randomly go up or down. I do think people get bought into these manias who may not have as much money to spare. So I'm not bullish on Bitcoin. And, you know, my general thought would be that, you know, if you have less money than Elon, you should probably watch out.
Speaking of Elon Musk and his money, the Tesla CEO lost $15 billion on paper yesterday after shares of the electric car maker dropped more than 6%.
Coming up on the earnings front, we hear from Home Depot this morning. And here with more, Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
Strong housing data and expectations that government stimulus checks will put more money in consumers' bank accounts have analysts raising their forecasts for Home Depot. Over the past 4 weeks, the average earnings per share estimate is up 1.6%. Analysts will be especially interested in Home Depot's forecast for the coming fiscal year as tougher comparisons begin coming into play. While Home Depot stock is up about 4.6% so far this year, it has trailed Lowe's 9% advance. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thanks. And in Europe this morning, shares of HSBC are down more than 1%. Adjusted pre-tax profit slid 50% in the fourth quarter. Europe's largest bank says it plans to resume dividend payments, though not at the same level as in the past, due to its investment plans and the continuing cost of the COVID pandemic. Right now, S&P futures are down 21 points, Dow futures down 59, NASDAQ futures down 176 points. Straight ahead, a check of local headlines and sports. This is Bloomberg. At 5:07 on Wall Street, we bring in Amy Morris for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Amy, good morning.
All right, good morning. Thank you, Nathan. Donald Trump's tax returns will soon be in the hands of a New York prosecutor looking into possible criminal charges against him. The Supreme Court rejected the former president's bid to block Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr. from subpoenaing Donald Trump's accounting firm. Vance will be receiving the returns as part of a criminal probe that could be one of the biggest legal threats facing the former president and the Trump Organization. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy has signed bills to legalize recreational marijuana. The bills will create licensing, distribution, and other rules, decriminalize hashish and pot possession, create a pathway to vacate some current sentences, and allow some criminal records to be erased. Adult access will be allowed in about 12 months. New York City police will stay out of many mental health crisis calls, and social workers will respond instead. In parts of northern Manhattan, starting this spring, the head of the city's mental health initiative gave some details of the test program to lawmakers, fleshing out the plan the city outlined broadly in November. Some important specifics remain to be seen in practice. Mental health advocates have hailed the idea but expressed some reservations about how the city is structuring it. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, touring a mass vaccination site at Medgar Evers College in Brooklyn yesterday, says it is the largest vaccination site in the state of New York.
This vaccination site can do 3,000 vaccines per day, 21,000 vaccines per week.
A second site will also open at York College at Queens tomorrow. Some members of Governor Cuomo's own party are pushing for him to be censured for how his administration handled the spread of COVID-19 in nursing homes. 11 members of the state Democratic committee believe the governor's office withheld information about the number of people who died because of coronavirus in those facilities. Now this, as Republicans in both chambers of the state legislature continue their call for Governor Cuomo's emergency powers to be revoked. The governor's executive powers are currently set to expire April 30th. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Amy.
And that brings us to 5:09 on Wall Street and time for Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
Right, good morning, Nathan. A welcome sight and sound tonight at the Garden and the Barclays Center. Fans, they have certainly been missed for almost a year. Not a lot of fans, only a couple thousand to be let in. At the Garden, they'll get to see Steph Curry and Golden State. Knicks trying to get to 500. The Nets back home from the best road trip in franchise history. They went 5-0 out west, and they'll take on Sacramento. NBA upset last night in L.A. Washington beat the Lakers in overtime. The Lakers missed the injured Anthony Davis. They've lost three in a row. The Islanders, the Coliseum, got a power play goal with 5 minutes left from J.G. Pageau. They beat Buffalo 3-2. Devils will host the Sabres tonight. New Jersey announced it will start letting in fans next week. When the Rangers play tomorrow, they'll be without their best player. A bizarre story involving Artemi Panarin. He's been accused by a former coach in his native Russia of beating up a girl a decade ago when he was 19. Panarin and the Rangers put out a statement denying the charge and saying it stems from Panarin's criticism of the Kremlin. He's said to be shaken by the accusation and is taking a leave of absence. Seattle Mariners president Kevin Mather has resigned. He made a speech where, among other things, he criticized the Latin and Japanese player for their inability to speak English. The Mets working out in Port St. Lucie, including the prize offseason acquisition, shortstop Francisco Lindor.
Today was the first day we took the field as a team, and it was fun. It was fun to be around the guys to see what everybody's got, and the work that they got been seeing from the guys have been really, really good. You know, the only thing that makes you want to do is elevate your game and get better.
Yankee camp rookie pitcher Clark Schmidt was being considered for a spot in the rotation as an elbow injury, not a season ender, but he won't be on the opening day. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports.
And John, Julius Erving is the latest NBA legend to reveal he's gotten the coronavirus vaccine. In a video distributed by the league, the 71-year-old, affectionately known as Dr. J, said, quote, "We were never afraid to take the big shot," end quote. The NBA has released videos in an effort to help encourage the public to receive the vaccine when they're eligible and it's available in their community. Dr. J got it. S&P futures down 22 points, Dow futures down 73, NASDAQ futures down 184 points, 10-year Treasury yield 1.37%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, intervals of clouds and sun today, low 40s, partly sunny, upper 40s tomorrow. We'll be back in the low 40s under a partly to mostly sunny sky on Thursday. Currently 36 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
European stocks are dropping along with U.S. stock index futures as the jump in bond yields and commodity prices continues to hammer technology shares. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 23 points, Dow futures down 60, NASDAQ futures down 193, that's down 1.5%. The DAX in Germany is down 1.6%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 1.37%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.7% or 46 cents at $62.18 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% or $2.40 at $18.06 an ounce. The euro, 1.2151 against the dollar. British pound, 1.4086. And the yen is at 105.27. Today, we will be watching for Fed Chair Jerome Powell to deliver the central bank's semi-annual monetary policy report to the Senate Banking Committee. And we're also watching for earnings from companies including Home Depot and Macy's. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Today's hearing on Capitol Hill into the deadly January 6th riot will feature four law enforcement officials, three of whom resigned their posts, some of whom have never before spoken publicly about the attack. They face lawmakers today. The jet engine fan blade that broke loose on that United Airlines plane on Saturday resulted from metal fatigue. NTSB's chairman Robert Sumwalt says a preliminary examination of fragments suggests a crack that grew gradually over time prompted that failure. Facebook will end its news blackout in Australia. The government has agreed to amend legislation forcing Facebook and Google to pay local publishers for content. And in sports, the Knicks and Nets each play at home tonight in front of fans for the first time. The Wizards beat the Lakers, and on the ice, the Islanders win. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. John.
Amy, it is 5:20 on Wall Street. We're on live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. Bond yields have shot up hand in hand with commodity prices. This probably reflects confidence. Vaccines are going to bring an end to the pandemic, and the economy will be off to the races, maybe, with a closer look at commodity prices this morning. We are joined by our own Mike McClone, who is with Bloomberg Intelligence, our commodities expert. Mike, good to talk to you this morning. Can we start with copper? We call it Dr. Copper because it's the only commodity that is said to have a Ph.D. in economics. Is the good doctor correct predicting an upswing in the economy?
Hello, John. Well, the time to buy copper was when it was below $7,000 a ton. Now it's above $9,000. I think it's getting a little bit expensive here. Remember, it's unchanged from 11 years ago. And the big picture for metals is very attractive. Yes, they're starting to predict and anticipate and pick up economy and demand. We show a deficit for copper. I'm bullish in copper. You don't want to be the first buyer here. And the key thing to remember is the producers are absolutely loving the fact that investors are getting into space because I just checked, you know, commercial producer hedging, it's the highest ever in copper. So expect more supply to come on, and typically that's not a good sign for copper prices to sustain higher prices when producers are hedging forward production at the highest, you know, the greatest level ever.
Now, does that indicate there's any speculation or there is actual demand for the commodity?
Well, there's demand for the commodity. In terms of commodities, I view the metals as the best place to go forward for the future. Typically, they have the least cost of difference between the spot price because metals are easy to store. But if you look over at something like crude oil, oversupplied, OPEC supply is excess supply is the highest ever. U.S. cost productions are almost the lowest ever, below $40 a barrel. And demand is just never was really strong before COVID. So I look at metals as okay place to be. Overall, broad certainly precious metals like gold, silver, platinum, palladium. But copper right here is just getting a little bit expensive. And I'm sensing froth.
What's a super cycle, Mike? And is that word tossed around a little too much?
Yes, it's people thinking of the 70s and the 80s and the early 2000s. And I think they're forgetting there is a commodity super cycle right now. It's called Bitcoin. The market's going electrification, decarbonization, and digitalization. I say it there. That's kind of a nascent market catching up to be a global reserve asset. But look at, I'm talking to you right now for my electric car. I couldn't do that 10 years ago. And I just don't, I'm not going to cop on a train soon, but I just don't see it happening. And also the bigger picture for commodities is super cycle. If you want a super cycle, typically you need enduring weakness in the dollar and enduring strength in fossil fuels, petroleum. But let's look over at natural gas. It's at $3. 2009, when the first time the Fed went to zero, it was at $4. So this is the most widely demanded fossil fuel on the planet now because it's so clean, yet the price can't go up. Why? Because of technology. Rapidly increasing technologies, increasing supply of petroleum and fossil fuels, and reducing demand. But it's the opposite for metals.
Okay, you brought up Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies. You've told me that Bitcoin is a legitimate store of value. What are the dynamics right now driving the volatility of cryptocurrency?
Bitcoin only goes down a lot when it goes up a lot. So Bitcoin just reached that $1 trillion threshold just above 50,000. It's pulling back. It's probably going to see good support around 40,000. But there's a wave of institutional buying right now. And the key thing is think of the old guard people held gold for centuries. They know if they don't at least allocate some to this new space, they may be missing out on the new global reserve asset. It's not a currency. It's a global reserve asset. So to me, that's the key thing that's happening in Bitcoin. And it has a number of key things to look forward to. The main thing that this bull market has to look forward to is probably U.S. ETF. Canadian ETFs were launched recently, and that's just going to bring on more demand. In addition, it's just that fact that in a world going digital, do we expect us not to have a digital currency in the future? And this is really more of a reserve asset.
30 seconds left. Commodities priced in U.S. dollars, do they follow an additional set of rules that complicate the forecasting picture?
Yes, they need a weak dollar to sustain strength. And right now, with U.S. yields near the highest in the world and U.S. stock market still outperforming, we're probably not going to get that weak dollar that you need for sustained higher prices in dollar-based commodities.
Okay, oil. Going to get back to pre-pandemic demand levels this year?
Good luck. I don't think so. I'm seeing most people are shifted to work from home, and then supply is coming back on, and it's being replaced with clean energy and technology.
Mike, always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Mike McGlone, commodity strategist with Bloomberg Intelligence. You heard him tell us right there. Oil is looking toppy, as well as copper looking frothy. NYMEX crude right now. This is West Texas Intermediate. A 49 cents, 62.20 a barrel. And Brent crude, the international benchmark right now, 65.80 a barrel. That is up about 56 cents. Copper right now, 412.55. That's down 0.6%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Intervals of clouds and sun today. Low 40s for afternoon and highs. Partly sunny, upper 40s tomorrow. We'll be back in the low 40s on Thursday. Currently fair sky, 36 degrees in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are falling again after the worst day for the Nasdaq in nearly a month. A jump in bond yields and commodity prices is hammering technology shares. And we get the latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Karen, the gap between 5- and 30-year yields touched the highest level in more than 6 years. Copper extended gains, while crude oil hit the highest level since 2018. Yields and commodities are being driven higher from the so-called reflation trade. The idea, economic recovery is gaining steam, but that can be a double-edged sword as higher inflation cuts into corporate profits. There are also concerns among stock investors that central banks may start reconsidering emergency programs that supported global markets. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, John, thank you. Investors are also focused on congressional testimony from Jay Powell. The Fed chair speaks to the Senate Banking Committee today and a House panel tomorrow. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
Powell is expected to pledge the Fed will press on with COVID-19 emergency measures. The Fed's semiannual report to Congress out Friday sees significant risks of bankruptcies and plummeting commercial real estate values. Businesses have taken on more debt, historic levels, as they weather COVID-19, encouraged in part by government and central bank loan programs. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. And join us after today's hearing for an interview with Committee Chair Sherrod Brown. He speaks with David Westin on Bloomberg Balance of Power at 12:30 p.m. Wall Street time.
Powell's testimony comes as the U.S. passes a grim milestone. More than 500,000 Americans have now died from COVID-19. President Biden ordered flags on federal property lowered to half staff for 5 days to honor those who have passed.
We'll remember each person we've lost, the lives they lived, the loved ones they left behind. We will get through this, I promise you. But my heart aches for you, those of you who are going through it right now. May God bless you all, particularly those who've lost someone.
And the U.S. accounts for almost 20% of global fatalities. That's more than twice the number of deaths than the next closest country, Brazil. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 28 points. Dow futures down 81. NASDAQ futures down 235. That's down 1.8%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 1.36%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
And it's now 5:33 on Wall Street. Amy Morris is standing by for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Amy.
Thank you, Nathan. Attorney General nominee Merrick Garland does appear to be heading toward confirmation in the Senate.
My first priority will be to have a briefing on where we are, if I'm confirmed, with the investigations, which from the outside appear quite vigorous and nationwide.
Garland telling senators the work of the Justice Department must be guided by the rule of law, and he condemned the deadly attack on the Capitol last month, saying that white supremacists and other rioters will be vigorously prosecuted. Manhattan's district attorney fought for a year and a half to get access to former President Trump's tax records. Now, thanks to a U.S. Supreme Court ruling, he will soon have them. Former prosecutors say the records could give investigators new tools to determine whether Donald Trump lied to lenders or tax officials. Recreational marijuana is legal now in New Jersey, but it will be months before sales can begin. Governor Phil Murphy has signed bills to create licensing and distribution of marijuana. The legislation will also decriminalize hashish and pot possession and create a pathway to vacate some current sentences and allow some criminal records to be erased. New Jersey Transit commuter bus and train fares will hold at 2016 rates in Governor Murphy's state budget for the fiscal year that starts July 1st. Administration officials tell Bloomberg News Murphy will introduce his $44.8 billion fiscal 2022 budget today. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says New York City movie theaters can open their doors again at limited capacity starting March 5th.
Movie theaters in New York will be brought in line with the rest of the state. 25% capacity, no more than 50 people per screening, masks, assigned seating, social distancing.
It has been nearly a year since movie theaters were shuttered, along with concert venues and nightclubs. Starting next week, fans will be allowed to attend sports and entertainment venues at New Jersey's largest facilities in limited numbers. That begins March 1st, and face coverings and social distancing will be mandatory. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Amy. It's now 5:35 on Wall Street. Time to bring in John Stashower for Bloomberg Sports Update. John.
All right, Nathan, the fans are back. First time in almost a year, the Garden Barclays Center will be at 10% capacity tonight. So only a couple of thousand fans, but it's better than what we've had. Knicks host Golden State. Both teams much improved from a year ago when they were two of the worst teams in the league, losing 45 and 50 games. They're both right around 500 now. And then red-hot Nets go for a seventh straight win tonight as they host Sacramento. They just went 5-0 out west. New Jersey, as we just heard announced, will open its doors next week for the Devils and Seton Hall and Rutgers games, eventually the Jets and Giants. Blowout in the ACC. Duke with a 52-point first half. Beat Syracuse 85-71. Duke coming on has won four straight after being under 500 earlier this month. Very uncharacteristic for them. The Coliseum, Islanders beat Buffalo 3-2 on a J.G. Pageau power play goal. 5 minutes left. The Isles have won 3 of 4 since a five-game losing streak. The Rangers are supporting their star player, Artemi Panarin, who is taking a leave of absence from the team. A story in his native Russia, a former coach accusing Panarin of beating up a girl a decade ago when he was just 19. He denies it, says it's due to his outspoken criticism of the Kremlin. The Rangers coach, David Quinn.
We're here as a team, and these guys care for each other on and off the ice. This organization does a phenomenal job supporting everybody that works for it, and you know, we're going to help Artemi through this difficult time.
Panarin said to be shaken by the accusation, not knowing when he'll be back on the ice. Not knowing if the new Mets shortstop Francisco Lindor is here for just one season or if he'll sign a long-term contract. He arrived in Port St. Lucie, said there have been no talks yet, but the hope is to get a deal done before opening day. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New York State lawmakers will look at Democratic revenue-raising proposals today for a budget deal to help close the state's $15 billion deficit. At the top of the list, a bill to resurrect a state tax on stock trades. The Securities Industry and Financial Markets Association have been urging state lawmakers to avoid the tax. Developers negotiating deals to renovate JFK International were thrown a lifeline Monday. New York City has extended the airport's lease to 2060. Plans to redevelop the airport in Queens stalled last year as the pandemic decimated passenger numbers and airline revenue worldwide. Bridgeport, Connecticut Mayor Joe Ganim is issuing a statement about People's United Financial's acquisition by M&T Bank. He welcomed M&T's headquarters and thanked People's United for their decades of commitment. Connecticut Post reports former Mayor Thomas Busey says the deal makes him nervous. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WFLA in Orlando, I'm reporting that Carnival plans to offer $1 billion in shares as stocks across the cruise industry set a course for higher returns.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Texans could be on the hook for decades for last week's energy crisis.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on reaction to Boris Johnson's easing timetable as holidaymakers launch themselves at buying trips, but unemployment climbs.
I'm Steve Potos. And on WFLA Tampa Bay, as so many stores close, Sephora reportedly will open 2 new locations in Tampa.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting the Cherokee Nation wants Jeep to stop using the names Cherokee and Grand Cherokee for its vehicles.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're watching, Robinhood Markets building up its phone-based customer service. The move comes as scrutiny grows over how the brokerage handles questions and complaints. Let's get more now from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The Menlo Park, California-based firm says it will add live phone support for a broader range of situations, including trading and transfer issues. App customers can now ask to speak by phone to a registered financial representative for help with certain options trading situations. Politicians are taking a closer look at Robinhood's Pocket or Free trading app, including its role in last month's investing frenzy involving GameStop and other so-called meme stocks. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. WeWork co-founder Adam Neumann is in advanced talks to settle his dispute with SoftBank. The Japanese firm is WeWork's biggest backer. Sources tell Bloomberg the settlement calls for SoftBank to buy half the WeWork shares it originally agreed to buy in 2019. The deal would allow Neumann to sell almost $500 million in stock. And carmaker Lucid Motors is merging with a blank check company run by financier Michael Klein, the biggest deal yet in a series of transactions involving EV startups, valuing the company at $24 billion. NASDAQ futures extending declines, now down 1.9%, down 248 points. S&P futures down 30. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover, introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks dropping with U.S. stock index futures as a jump in bond yields and commodity prices continues to hammer technology shares. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 28 points. Dow futures down 88. NASDAQ futures down 225 points. That's down 1.7%. DAX in Germany is down 1.8%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 1.35%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8% or 50 cents at $62.20 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $3.70 at $18.04.90 an ounce. The euro, 1.2150 against the dollar. British pound, 1.4089. The yen, 105.23. We're watching Tesla this morning. It's dropping in early trading, now down about little more than 7% or below the level at which it entered the S&P 500 in December. And we'll continue to watch those shares, of course. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, President Biden is ready to repair relations with Canada that have been strained by disputes over trade and an oil pipeline. He'll be meeting virtually with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau later today. Sources tell Bloomberg News the two leaders plan to unveil a roadmap on how to improve cooperation on a range of topics, from global alliances to the coronavirus. U.S. college enrollment of first-time undergraduates declined at the fastest pace in decades last year. Research by the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis shows freshmen enrollment plunged more than 13% in the fall of 2020. In sports, the Knicks and Nets each play at home tonight in front of fans for the first time. The Wizards beat the Lakers, and on the ice, the Islanders win. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Amy, thank you. It's 5:49 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak as we await the first of 2 days of testimony from Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell. Markets will be keeping a very close eye and ear on what the chairman has to say later this morning to the Senate Banking Committee. Let's get a preview now from economist John Sylvia, founder of Dynamic Economic Strategy. Great to talk with you once again, John. Thanks for being with us. Of course, Powell has been making the case for stimulus, the need for it, for quite some time now, but you look at the markets, they are really screaming about the possibility of inflation down the road here, the reflation trade certainly in the foreground. What's the balance Powell needs to strike?
Yeah, I think the balance is that the reality is, yes, the economy is improving, and we're seeing good numbers. And when you look at the nowcast for the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, that's picked up significantly. So you're talking about 4 to 6% growth. But I think for Powell, it's that there's still a lot of uncertainty out there in terms of the sustainability of the growth, and also, quite frankly, the sustainability of the inflation numbers. We knew that as the economy opens up, that there will be supply chain issues. There'll be shortages, certainly you see of commodities. So there will be some rising inflation, but how much is it sustained over time? I think that's where Powell will come down and say there's still that uncertainty there.
Well, what indicators are you looking at? Is the market getting ahead of itself in terms of inflation expectations?
Well, I think certainly the market is getting ahead of itself. You know, we look at, for example, the five-year break even. That's a technical focus on what the market is telling us. And those numbers have gone up to 2.1% already from 1.5 in October. The CPI the last 3 months has certainly jumped. But I think the market is ahead of itself. It's surprising in a way, Nathan, that, you know, the Fed has said we want the inflation numbers to pick up. And also from the market's perspective, slightly higher inflation avoids obviously the problem of deflation, but it is a signal that the economy is improving. So I think in many ways the market is ahead of itself. It's way too bearish on where things are going, but clearly there is a short-run adjustment.
Do you think there's anything that Powell is going to say or should say to try to talk long-term bond yields down?
Oh, I think sustainability. Whenever the economy was opening up, there was always the anticipation that prices would jump because of supply chain problems. There were always issues that, you know, maybe gas prices, which are, you know, the biggest jump in the CPI for the last 3 months, would pick up a little bit as the economy improves. People will stop moving. Trucks are going to start delivering. I think he's going to argue very clearly that, yes, it's a short-run jump in inflation, but sustainability suggests that over the longer period of time, the next 6 months to a year, those inflation numbers will come back down.
Are you expecting that he's going to be pressured at all on the volatility we've seen of late in equity markets, particularly the volatility surrounding those meme stocks we were talking about a month ago?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think from a senator and congressman's point of view, that volatility is a headliner. It's what the markets talk about. It's what Bloomberg talks about. And I would say that, yes, he'll be pressured to say, you know, what's going on here? Have you provided too much liquidity, creating inflation and asset prices rather than in the overall growth in the economy?
How much of that volatility do you think the Fed is willing to tolerate in our last minute here, John?
I would say that they're willing to tolerate what we're getting right now. I think from the Fed's point of view, some of the volatility in equities can be attributed to speculation, to market movements that are independent of monetary policy, independent of the economy. So I think that as of now, the Fed will tolerate that. It doesn't appear that the volatility is creating a lot of financial stress in the banking system or in the markets itself.
Thank you for this, John. Again, great having you on with us this morning. John Sylvia is founder of Dynamic Economic Strategy. And a reminder, Chairman Powell's hearing before the Senate Banking Committee, the delivery of the semi-annual monetary policy report gets underway around 10 a.m. Wall Street time. We will have live coverage for you right here on Bloomberg Radio. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:54 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report, exploring legal issues in the news, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute, resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Today we're looking at Judge Merrick Garland, President Joe Biden's nominee for Attorney General, apparently headed for bipartisan approval in the Senate. The vote comes nearly 5 years after Senate Republicans blocked consideration of his nomination to the Supreme Court by President Barack Obama. At his confirmation hearing, Garland pledged to make independent decisions on investigations and cases. For more, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to former U.S. Attorney for Michigan, Matthew Schneider, now a partner at Honigman.
He said that his first priority will be to deal with the attack on the Capitol and that the attack was not a one-off with regard to domestic terrorism. How much can an attorney general's commitment make a difference in that regard?
Well, in this case, a lot, because there are multiple cases arising out of that incident at the Capitol. Those are all being prosecuted by the Justice Department because the U.S. Justice Department in Washington, D.C. handles both state and federal cases. So whether those cases are charged in any capacity, that's going to be a Justice Department initiative. And if you think about who Merrick Garland is, this is really quite revealing that he began his testimony by talking about the importance of combating domestic terrorism and making that one of his highest priorities. Well, look at him himself. He's already done that. He prosecuted the Oklahoma City bombing case. So this is a good example of why there's really no room for on-the-job training as a new attorney general. And Merrick Garland is proving that in his confirmation hearing.
In his remarks, he talked about prioritizing policing and civil rights to combat racial discrimination. Any indication how he intends to carry that out?
Another item that came up in this confirmation hearing was the use of consent decrees. Consent decrees to settle cases against police departments and municipalities. Those were used in the Obama administration. Those consent decrees were ended in the Trump administration. So the question now is, will Merrick Garland bring back the use of consent decrees against police departments for police actions or wrongs? And he indicated that he would. That is a tool that is in his toolbox. And I think that's exactly what we're going to see. We're going to see the Justice Department using consent decrees, much like it did in the Obama administration. That aspect will come back.
Do you see any change under Garland in the treatment of corporations?
You'll see different views on how to prosecute corporations. When you were in the Justice Department under President Trump, corporations didn't always have to provide cooperation in an investigation. But in the previous administration under Obama, corporations were expected to cooperate. And I think you're going to see a return to that. I think you'll also see a return to more significant fines for corporations and polluters who run afoul of federal law.
And that's former U.S. Attorney for Michigan, Matthew Schneider, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at Bloomberg Law. And we continue to watch futures this morning. NASDAQ futures falling down 1.8% right now, down 239 points. S&P futures are down 27, and Dow futures are down 65. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32 yield 1.35%. And this is Bloomberg.